Cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you end the hustle, define success on your own terms, and build a profitable, sustainable business doing more of what you love and less of what you don't. I'm so excited you're here with me today. Let's get started. I'm in Lebanon, Tennessee, a little town just east of Nashville, host of the Brick Universe Expo. Now, we're big Lego fans in our family, so it's been a treat to see some of the pretty amazing builds and the enormous amount of creativity that's on display at this expo. Now, I've got photos on Instagram already, and you can catch a few of the images of some of the amazing work of these creatives in this week's video show as well. Now, this week's episode is all about passive income, or more accurately, leveraged income assets, because that's what they really are. They're assets that you've created that generate income by leveraging a power source. Now, whether that source is time, energy, effort, or money, you're leveraging something in order to create income without as much effort on your part. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to passive income streams, but once you get clarity and implement them properly, they can become assets in your company that will help you generate income even when you're not actively working in your business. Not all passive income strategies are created equally, and not every option will work for your situation. So, of course, everyone and their clone wants to sell you a guide to quote unquote making money in your sleep. Now, I'm not that person. I would rather see you focus on doing your great work and finding an audience that you can serve that loves you. Now, for me, I think the easiest forms of leveraged income assets are born out of the work that you're already doing, not something that you just pull out of thin air in a weekend. So the sooner you start working to build an audience, the sooner you'll see revenue. And the effort you're going to put into building a so-called passive revenue stream could just as easily be put into something that you can offer to an audience now and then made into a leveraged income stream later. Most creative entrepreneurs would do well to have some kind of leverage, aka passive revenue stream, that's not tied directly to doing your great work. That way, you don't find yourself stuck in what Les McCown, author of the book Predictable Success, calls the artisan trap, where you're caught in a vicious circle of creating, then selling, then creating, then selling, and never stepping away from your work because you have to create or sell all the time in order to stay profitable. As you know by now, if you've been following me for any length of time, that's simply not sustainable. What if something happens to you? Then what? Where will your revenue come from? I want you to have a profitable, sustainable business, which means that it makes money and, yes, it sustains you through the ups and the downs of the cycles of business, because business is cyclical. I remind my clients of this all the time. Sales go up and sales go down. Clients come and clients go. You're hot, then you're not. And a solid business will be stable enough to sustain you despite the ups and downs, despite the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to take Shakespeare horribly out of context. So passive income streams, or leveraged income assets, as I prefer to call them, act as a hedge against putting all your eggs in one basket, kind of an insurance policy to offer you some income protection if you need to step away from your business. And they can become tiny little revenue sources in their own right, but as I said before, there's a big misconception most folks have around them. I have several leveraged income assets, and they took a lot of effort. And we'll look at the honest truth of what that really means in this episode. I'm taking you behind the scenes in my business. You're going to learn about the specific leveraged income assets I have, how they work, and just how passive they really are, or aren't, as the case may be. You're going to not only bust some myths in this episode, you're going to get clarity on what passive income really is, how it can work for you, if you're willing to do the work, and what you really need to know to make it work for your situation. Because believe you me, passive income sounds sexy, but it takes some work to make anything passive, even if it's only on the front end of the deal. So let's bust that very first myth, that passive income is really passive. Wah, wah. I know, that seems a bit disappointing, right? Like false advertising or something. The term passive income is really a subset of a wider type of income called recurring revenue. Recurring revenue can also be an active type of income, like my own A Club or incubator programs. There's a monthly recurring fee for each member, and in exchange for their recurring payment, I provide some form of support for them each month, whether that's training, coaching, or business support, depends on the program that they're in. That's recurring revenue too, but of an active variety. I have to keep showing up and doing the work in order for the revenue to keep recurring. But I also sell courses, books, physical merchandise, music, stuff that I've already created that I don't have to keep creating every month because I made it once and now I can keep selling it over and over again. That's the kind of recurring revenue that may not be as predictable, but it keeps coming in for something that you've already created without having to keep showing up and doing the work. The work's done once, typically on the front end, before you sell it, and then you just keep selling the thing that you previously made. Now, there are times when you can take pre-orders for something and sell it before you make it. Just realize that in doing that, you've created a debt to your buyers. You owe them. And now the pressure's on to make that thing, even if you later decide that you don't want to or you want to do something different. Otherwise, you're dealing with refunds and having to smooth customer relations. Now, yes, it is possible for money to be coming in while you're not working. But in order for that to happen, there still has to be some work involved. Firstly, you have to create the darn thing, and then you got to market it. Sorry, even after you've created it, if you just set it and forget it, you're not the only one who will forget it. As an example, I spent years building the courses that make up Direct Sales 101. The entire program sits on the website of the same name, directsales101.com, and I never market that thing. Well, okay, I guess I'm marketing it now, but I digress. It's a solid program. It's built for leaders and direct sales beginners alike. And it shows you the ins and outs of building a profitable, sustainable direct sales business, and it gets results. That's where I started as a coach. Before this episode, I hadn't done any marketing in probably 6 or 7 years. Now, when I built the site, I created quality content with good SEO, but I haven't updated it at all since I turned my focus to other markets. So I'm basically trusting my old work to keep sending me business. Now, when I'm lucky, I'll get a sale or two a year. A year. That is not going to pay the bills, regardless of how passive it is. It is truly passive at this point. I do nothing and I pretty much get nothing. The revenue that comes in just about covers the cost of keeping the website up and running. But if I market it, then I'd probably get a few buyers. I'll be curious to see how many of you visit the website now just to see what it's all about. But it wasn't passive to create it. It's a series of 12-week courses that I actually taught live over 12 weeks each. It includes videos and training tools and worksheets. 4 12-week courses. That's a lot of content creation before I sold a thing passively. I basically took the live course that wasn't passive at all and revised it so that it would be effective as an online DIY course. So yeah, passive income means that at some point, all the work you've done can perpetuate itself, but it won't necessarily pay the bills, and it won't necessarily mean that you'll never have to do anything to bring in money ever again. The more you market something, the better your chances of people knowing it exists. The more people who know your offer exists, the more people are likely to buy it. So passive isn't really passive after all. It's less effort for sure. And once you've got a team to support your business, you won't have to do all the work of marketing or promoting or even creating all your offers. So maybe then it will be truly passive, but not today. Which brings me to the next myth, that you can create passive income in a weekend or 90 days. Yes. You can create a product in a weekend or write a book in 90 days. You can even sell something before you actually create it. Pre-orders and pre-registrations are a common practice. And I mentioned previously that in offering a pre-order, you're creating a debt with your buyers.
You have money that doesn't belong to you until you deliver your offer. The upside to that is that pre-orders can often make it possible to gauge interest in what you're selling and even help you secure supplies for making it. I sell tickets to Creative Freedom Live well in advance of the workshop to help me get a valid headcount and start securing supplies I need during the course of the workshop. But if I end up canceling, I have to refund that money. It's not mine. Even if I start buying supplies, my clients didn't pay for supplies, they paid for a workshop. So it's up to me to deliver. And if you're registered for Creative Freedom Live, don't worry, we're sold out. I've got no plans to cancel. I am moving to another state and I still have no plans to cancel. But back to the idea of creating something in a hot minute, slapping a price tag on it, and expecting it to sell. What's the quality of the thing you're creating on such a compressed timeline? Now, I'm not talking about perfectionism here. You can probably create a nice looking PDF or a video workshop in a weekend without much trouble, but you still gotta prep for that thing. And if this is something you wanna be able to sell over and over for years to come, you'll probably wanna have an A-list offering, not some slapped together hodgepodge of schlock that looks like it took you 20 minutes with a team of first graders. Now, if that sounds harsh, let me clue you in. Online buyers are getting savvier and savvier. Shopping online used to be a novel and unusual thing. Now it's a common practice. In an article from the Retail Gazette, 80% of shopping is now done online. People aren't as leery about being online as they were even 10 years ago, and they have higher expectations than ever before. And they're not afraid to use social media to rip you a new one if they're unhappy with their purchase. So that passive income project better be worth their investment. You're going to need to put as much time and effort into a passive stream as you would an active stream. The thing that sets them apart is the nature of the effort. If you've taken the time to create the right systems for your passive income streams, you don't need to be involved in the sales or the delivery nearly as much as if you're creating something bespoke for a client. As an author, for example, I have a couple of books in the marketplace that I don't market very often. I market them more frequently than directsales101.com, but not nearly as frequently as my other offers. But I usually sell a few each month, even when I'm not actively marketing them. Why? Because I've put the systems of Amazon to work for me. They do the marketing, manufacturing, and delivery of the books. They also take a substantial cut of the revenue in exchange for their effort. So it's not passive technically. It's just that I've paid Amazon to do the work on my behalf. When I market more, I sell more. When I don't, I'm relying on Amazon systems to put my book in front of people that they think would like it based on their magical algorithms. Which brings me to the next myth. When you make the thing, it'll sell like hotcakes and you can retire in style on an island somewhere and just let the dollar bills roll in. Unless you've already done the work of attracting a large audience hungry for your offer, you're not going to sell a whole lot on the first go round. In fact, when I launched my book, The Secret Watch, we gave away more copies than we sold in the first month. I did a free Kindle ebook promotion and promised everyone that if we gave away 1,000 copies, I'd do a backflip. Never done a backflip before. I think we did about 1,100 copies or something like that. It's been a while, so I'm not exactly sure of the number. Way more than our goal of 1,000, though. And it was number one in the free Kindle books, which helped me sell more physical copies of the book. But I didn't make enough to retire in style or anything. I had to write another book and keep working. Now, the book continues to sell years after I published it. In that respect, it's an asset of my company. It's intellectual property that has street value. It generates some passive income now. And again, the more I market it, the more it sells. Marketing takes effort. Even if the income source is fully formed and ready for sale, someone's got to be telling the world about it or no one's going to know it exists. This isn't Field of Dreams. That's a misnomer anyways. The voice in the movie did not say, if you build it, they will come. It said, if you build it, he will come. One dude. One. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't build a business trusting that one dude knows about my great work. That is not a healthy expectation in business. So if you don't have an audience, you got to do the work of finding one, whether you build it yourself or reach out to people who've already done that work and get in front of their audiences. If you don't have an audience, you don't have buyers. period. I hope you're getting the idea now that you'll need more than one thing to offer if you're planning on passive income, because that's the next myth. Unless you're J.K. Rowling or Elizabeth Gilbert or Beyonce or Jay-Z, you're going to need more than one thing to sell to create a passive income that will sustain you. And let's be clear, all those folks have multiple streams of revenue as well. Elizabeth Gilbert wrote 4 books before Eat, Pray, Love became a runaway bestseller. Eat, Pray, Love came out in 2006. What did she do to pay the bills in the meantime? She waitressed, among other things, according to her book, Big Magic. Her other streams of passive income weren't paying the bills, and she'd made a commitment to herself to not put pressure on her creative work to keep her fed. Beyonce has numerous albums, as does Jay-Z, plus clothing lines, endorsement deals, and a whole bunch of other stuff that adds up to billions of dollars. Jay-Z became the first billionaire rapper in the world, not because of his music exclusively, but because of the other business deals. Like his billionaire hip-hop predecessor, Dr. Dre, who sold his Beats brand to Apple for a cool $3.2 billion. It was the business that held the net worth. It wasn't a single offer. It was multiple streams of revenue that added up to a billion-dollar valuation. Now, while you may or may not be angling for a billion-dollar business valuation, recognize that diversifying your revenue streams takes time, energy, and effort, and probably a little monetary investment as well. I mean, how many plates can you keep spinning at one time? Diversifying your portfolio also means dividing your attention. That's why my books and Direct Sales 101 program don't get a lot of my marketing attention right now. That's also why they don't generate a lot of income either. What does generate a lot of income? My incubator. A small group of clients bringing in about 60% of my annual revenue, and I'm helping them grow their businesses through a pay-for-results model. That means the better they do, the better I do. But it's not passive. There's still lots of work involved. I also have other revenue streams: books, music, digital downloads, online courses, A Club, incubator, coaching clients. I also have the Creative Freedom Live event, which is sold out in Nashville and coming to a town near you in 2020. But I started with one thing and grew from there, because no one item could fully fund what we're doing in this business. Plus, relying on one thing gets dangerous after you've reached a certain point in your business. Let me explain. At first, focusing on one thing is important because that's how you gain traction in the marketplace. That's how you get known. Once you've got traction, diversifying helps distribute the load, because markets, audiences, and regulations change all the time. Any platform you don't own can be stripped away at any time. It's important to have some insurance against those changes, and a diversified business allows you to have that kind of buffer. And we'll talk more about diversifying in a future episode. Right now, I'm not trying to scare you into not creating these other revenue streams. I just want to right-size your expectations around what kind of results to expect. Most online marketers agree that the typical sales rate for an offer is 1% to 2% of cold traffic. Now that means if you put an offer in front of people who don't know you, then 1% to 2% of them are likely to buy. So if 100 people see your offer, you'll sell 1 or 2. That's a lot of effort for very little return on investment. Now, those numbers get exponentially better with people who know, like, and trust you, about 10 to 20%. That means when 100 of these people see your offer, you'll sell 10 to 20, significantly better results. On aggregate sites like Amazon, Apple Music, Creative Market, Skillshare, you're talking about way less than that. While Amazon itself has a great conversion rate, the odds of getting your offers in front of Amazon buyers are much smaller because there's a huge sea of offers there. According to one article I read, a regular Amazon shopper converts at 13%, while a Prime member converts closer to 74% of the time. That means if I sold 2 copies of my book on Amazon, Amazon only recommended it to 16 regular shoppers or 3 Prime members. They are selling millions of items a day. Okay? That means less than 0.0002. You heard where I put that decimal point. 0.0002% of their audience sees my book. So no one is seeing my book unless I'm doing the marketing to get them there. But as I said before, passive income streams can be assets for your company. If you're a fine artist, prints become an affordable way for people to own your work, and you don't have to keep making the same piece over and over again. If you're a musician, digital downloads, records, and yeah, even CDs still make useful passive revenue streams. Ebooks, videos, courses, and training programs can all be useful tools to create assets for your business that can be marketed as passive revenue streams, so long as you realize that passive is a misnomer. Yes, the item is still available for sale without you having to man a merch booth or keep cranking out copies of the thing that you've created, but it's not a completely inactive device. Even endorsements, sponsorships, and paid ad placements are technically passive, but they still require you to show up in some form or another. Our Patreon members won't keep making their monthly pledge if we don't keep creating content. Show sponsors cease to exist if you don't have a show. Endorsement deals rely on your personality and your celebrity, so if you do anything that jeopardizes that, they can pull their endorsement and their money right along with it. So when you're considering passive income assets, and I do encourage you to think of them as assets, consider the term of depreciation. How long are you going to continue to support this offer before you give up on it? Will you do like I did, actively marketing directsales101.com for a few years and then letting it go to focus on other projects? Or is it something you want to be part of your arsenal for the foreseeable future? When you take my entrepreneur type quiz, you have the option of signing up to get a comprehensive PDF that explains the types in more detail. When you complete it, there's also a workshop you can buy that supports the learning and helps you build a plan. That workshop is completely on autopilot and designed to run indefinitely for as long as people are still downloading the PDF and buying the workshop. So I've invested a bit more time and money into creating the offer itself, as well as the supporting infrastructure and systems that go along with maintaining it. So look at how long you want this to be available. Think about how you're going to attract an audience for it. Do you already have an audience? Can you borrow one from somewhere else? Will you drive traffic with advertising or affiliates? That's another form of borrowing an audience, by the way. You're just paying to borrow it. That's the only difference. Once you've got traffic and potential buyers, how will you deliver it? Is it a physical product or will you deliver it digitally? If it's a physical product, who will provide fulfillment since you don't want to be the one shipping everything? That's not a very passive income stream. As I record this, my books are fulfilled through Amazon. My CDs are fulfilled through CD Baby. My coaching card decks are fulfilled through a printer for all US orders, and international orders are processed manually. We're still working on an international solution. And there's another kind of passive revenue that I want you to also be thinking about as your income grows. Investments. I don't have room in this episode to go deep on investing, but interest-bearing accounts, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and even real estate can be passive investment assets. In the case of investments and interest-bearing accounts, they probably most closely resemble something that is truly passive. You put your money in and money comes back without you really having to do anything except maintain your investment. Real estate's a bit trickier since it depends on how you invest in the real estate. You can start saving and investing with very little money here in the States through some of the new apps on the market. And even a young fledgling business can benefit from looking at ways it could invest some profits for future growth. As your creative business grows, wealth building and wealth preservation are important considerations. If you're just getting started, though, look into a high-yield savings account. It won't pay the rent, but it's a start on creating a habit of saving in your business. In fact, if you're following the profit first method that I use and recommend, you'll need separate accounts for things like your taxes. The money might as well collect a little interest for you while it sits there. So, is there really any such thing as a truly passive income stream? Kind of. Someone somewhere has to do some work to make the revenue come in. But there's a lot you can do to delegate that work to someone else and make it less effort for you. Just keep in mind the different questions you need to consider as you're building your passive revenue assets. How will people find out about them? How will you drive traffic to the offer? What audience are you going to use to market to? How will you collect payment and deliver the offer? All these questions can be found in the Passive Income Planner you'll find ready for download in the Rising Tide members area this week. It can help you think through what exactly you can create or add to your investment portfolio to generate passive revenue for your business. If you want to have a deeper discussion about passive income, or even have a committed group of entrepreneurs take a look at what you're creating and give their feedback, join us in Accountability Club. A Club is an intimate group of creative entrepreneurs who are defining and achieving success on their own terms. You can learn more about it at lisarobinyoung.com/A Club. There's a link in the show notes as well. All the notes and downloadables for this and every episode of Creative Freedom can be accessed inside the Rising Tide members area. It's free. Just click the link on my website to get access today. If you liked this episode, help us make a bigger impact in the world. Support our Patreon campaign. Subscribe. Share us around with your friends and colleagues. Leave us a review. Your help makes a difference more than you could ever know. We're one of the fastest growing shows for creative entrepreneurs because of you. Thank you. Next time, we're looking at how to design your business model to work for your creative type. I hope you'll join me. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to. Yes, you do.